Hello, I am Andy Zaltzman, speaker of the News Quiz. There are certain unwritten conventions attached to this show. We traditionally begin with the theme tune, followed by a series of questions leading to a final score. This week, however, as you know, all conventions have gone in the bin. So I can tell you right now that our winners are Lucy and Andrew. There are no questions, just passive-aggressive statements, and instead of the theme tune, I'm going to chainsaw this large block of wood into a sculpture of my predecessor, Miles Jupp, in which he is naked astride a rhinoceros. Welcome to the News Quiz! Right. All done. Too graphic? Good, we're good to go. Our teams this week, in a week in which protests came to the House of Commons in a fevered ceasefire debate on Wednesday, we have Team Convention Rebellion against Team Just Stop Hoyle. And, Convention Rebellion, we have Hugo Rifkin and Ria Lina. And on Team JSH, we have Lucy Porter and Andrew Doyle. Hugo and Ria can take our first question. Who achieved the seemingly impossible this week by bringing the Conservative Party and the Scottish National Party together in glorious harmony?
Okay, this is the shenanigans in Parliament. It was the vote on Gaza. It's a difficult topic to talk about. It's a difficult situation. It's a place riven by old hatreds, generations of belligerents. But I truly believe that one day peace may come to the House of Commons. But there seems to be this misconception that the House of Commons exists as a place where MPs can, like, debate issues and then take decisions, right? But that's not what it's for. The House of Commons is a place where political parties go to score points off other political parties and humiliate them. That's what happens. So this week, the SNP proposed a motion to call a ceasefire in Gaza, but the crucial point is they didn't do this because they wanted the other parties to agree with them that there should be a ceasefire in Gaza. They did this because they want the other parties to disagree with them about the ceasefire in Gaza so they could turn around and call them bastards. And the strategy they used, which is a kind of old one in Parliament, it's basically bundling. You propose several things at once. It's like you say to someone, would you like to save this puppy? And they go, yes. And you go, no. Would you like to save this puppy and ban abortion? And they go, well, no, just the puppy bit. And you go, you can't do that. It's both or neither. And you go, well, I don't really fancy banning abortion. They go, you hate puppies. So the SNP proposed a ceasefire while basically calling the Israeli government war criminals. And Labour didn't want to call the Israeli government war criminals, perhaps because they didn't think they were war criminals, but also perhaps because Keir Starmer's about to be in power, and if you're in government and working with other governments and you've just called them war criminals, it's really awkward. So Labour proposed an amendment which had the ceasefire bit, but not the war criminals bit, and Lindsay Hoyle, the Speaker, decided to accept it so that everyone could vote on what they wanted to vote for rather than stuff they didn't want to vote for, which is obviously not allowed and just ridiculous. So the SNP got furious because they wanted to humiliate Labour for not voting for the war criminals bit, and the Tories got furious because they wanted to humiliate Labour for voting for the war criminals bit, and everybody stormed out and nobody voted at all, and that is the only reason why today there is still a war.
Just clarify something. So were you saying that all fetuses should be replaced by puppies?
Yes. Yes, I was saying that.
To a certain extent, and this is how I think we feel as a people, this is a lot of virtue signaling in Parliament, because overall this is turning into like the political equivalent of the ALS ice bucket challenge, where everybody sits there, dumps ice on their head, looks like an idiot, but ultimately nothing actually happens.
Andrew, you're a keen political observer. What did you?
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding, there are two major issues here. Firstly, it's the idea that Keir Starmer put pressure onto the Speaker, who is in his Labour Party, and therefore there's some kind of collusion there. But similarly, there's a more troubling thing, which is that Lindsay Hoyle did say that one of the reasons he made this decision was that he was very, very concerned about the security of MPs. He's worried about mob violence and that kind of thing. What you effectively have, therefore, is you've got a Speaker of the House of Commons operating at the behest of far-left cranks and radical Islamists. So, I mean, you may as well just put Jeremy Corbyn in charge at this point. Not a popular point of view, I can see. She got a hiss there. That doesn't normally happen on Radio 4.
I mean, because Lindsay Hoyle said he made this decision because he didn't want MPs to be scared, and because also Keir Starmer put the menaces on Lindsay Hoyle, maybe Lindsay Hoyle was actually taking this decision because he didn't want to be scared. Keir Starmer. Maybe Keir Starmer had him, like, you know, in an arm lock.
I was just having an image of Keir Starmer being threatening. The idea of him in a leather jacket.
Is it turning you on?
It's not. I've got very complicated feelings about it, Rhea. I might need to.
I've been doing this show with you for like 15 years, and I reckon for the last seven, you've always launched into a fantasy about Keir Starmer.
And he and I have both aged. And like now, I'm thinking, I'm picturing him as a sort of tough guy, but he couldn't really be James Dean. He could be kind of like Lovejoy, he could be Ian McShane. There's Lovejoy in his pump. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, do I find that erotic? I may be quiet for the rest of the show. I need to. But yeah, it was a depressing day, and it was like a Goldilocks situation, wasn't it, where they're trying to find Daddy Bear's amendment is too critical of Israel and Mummy Bear's is not critical enough and Keir's is just yummy. And also, well, Lindsay Hoyle apologised, which those of us who can't remember anyone apologising for anything for about the last 14 years, I was shocked.
But I think the important thing is that if they don't do something more important than squabble amongst themselves, by the time they make a decision, Mummy Bear, Daddy Bear and Baby Bear will all be dead.
But does anyone know why even them debating it? I mean, does the Israeli government and Hamas listen to Keir Starmer? Is that what
I think it is legally binding on
Hamas
and Netanyahu. So a lot of it came down to the sort of semantics of ceasefires, because when there were key differences, because there was the SNP calling for an immediate ceasefire, Labour calling for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, and the Conservatives wanting an immediate humanitarian pause.
It's quite interesting, the word ceasefire. I don't want to come over all Susie Dent here, but right. It's actually, ceasefire comes from the English word cease, meaning to stop.
Right.
And the English word fire, meaning to shoot at people.
Okay. Right. Hoyle got a lot of criticism, as a result of which, this can go to Lucy and Andrew, Tory MPs demanded this week, bring back what?
It was actually a very funny moment from a Tory going, bring back Burkow,
yep.
Who they hated because of his attitude to Brexit. But they can't bring back Burkow because he is currently in series two of The Traitors America.
Really?
Yes! Because I was like, I wonder what he's up to now. He's not been in touch. And he's... Do you think, yeah, if you have to go and be on The Traitors to take a little break from the backstabbing of Westminster...
I don't understand it, though. Like, so I think the problem with Lindsay Hoyle at the moment, from what I understand, is that people are accusing him of behaving in a politically partisan manner. And the solution to that isn't to bring back John Bercow, who is known for being the most politically partisan speaker. It'd be like making Mel Gibson the chief rabbi or something.
Yes, chaos in Westminster this week, despite calls from both Hamas and the Israeli government for all parties in the House of Commons to try constructive dialogue to work together and find a way through their differences. The world is watching. There's been problems around the world. The USA vetoed a UN resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire, and America is suggesting instead a ceasefire. Is that clear? In the UK Parliament, as discussed, one amendment was passed calling for a ceasefire, but not the other one calling for a ceasefire. They were both amended to the main bill calling for a ceasefire, none of which were actually binding calls for a ceasefire. Funny old world. At the end of that round, the scores are 4 points all. Right, this can go to Lucy and Andrew. Whose trident-tested method made a bit of a splash this week?
So there was a test of the HMS Vanguard, the Trident submarine, tried to launch a missile. It failed, but it's nothing to worry about because Grant Shapps was on board.
Literally, on the missile. Was he riding the missile?
He was in a sort of Dr. Strangelove kind of way, yeah. Grant Shapps was at this test. We can't know what went wrong, but it was event-specific. It was Grant Shapps, wasn't it? It was basically... So the missile was meant to go for over 3,000 miles, but it plopped, apparently, someone said.
Yes, plop, which is some way short of kaboom, isn't it?
Plopped into the sea near where it was launched in Florida. I mean, in some ways, it's a good thing. Its carbon footprint was reduced. I mean, the rest of the world is looking at us and going, you haven't got a nuclear deterrent. It's like we've put a sign saying, beware of the dog above a cat flap.
But, you know, look, sometimes your missile doesn't work, right? I mean, I'm not speaking from experience, but it doesn't... he was stressed out, had too much Chablis or something. But, Trident's getting on a bit. I think we could call it a bit of projectile dysfunction. Like, the Ministry of Defence are failing. We should just get them an Amazon Prime account, you know. They might not be able to get it there in, like, 4 hours, but next day delivery, it's not a bad thing.
It's, right. It's the crew I feel sorry for of these submarines. You spent, like, 6 months underwater with nothing to do. You've got Saran Jones walking around playing the same bloody character she plays in literally everything. And at the end of it, all you've got to look forward to is a missile launch, and it doesn't work, you know. And it's like, what a waste of everybody's time being down there for so many months. And it's like, obviously, it's a problem if you've got a deterrent and it doesn't work, because it doesn't deter people. But it's not like the Russians' nuclear bombs work. Of course they don't work. Like, the COVID vaccine made your ears fall off. Like, we've found out over the last couple of years that, like, they've got whole tank squadrons that are basically just big green boxes with the word tank painted on them. You know, so I think we're probably all right.
I mean, also strategically, does it not sort of make a bit of sense to make our potential enemies complacent?
But oh, yeah, it's quite scary, isn't it? We don't know where our missiles are going to go. We're like the intercontinental ballistic missile equivalent of a drunk just throwing punches wildly.
My favourite thing in the story was that, just for clarification, they said, when they do the test, they don't attach the nuclear warhead. I was like, well, that is reassuring.
Yeah, if that's the bit they were getting wrong, then there would be trouble.
I mean, if you've got a submarine, the submarine can go anywhere, so you can just get really close and throw it.
Get Saran Jones to lob it over, it'll be fine.
I mean, because it costs a lot of money, Trident.
Didn't this cost something like 17 million?
Each missile is 17 million. But what's 17 million between defence contractors and governments? You know what I mean? Like, Michelle Moan got more than that.
Yes, well, Britannia tried a new method of ruling the waves this week, nuking the waves. A test of the Trident missile system cost £17 million and was a complete failure. Rumours reaching us that Chelsea have now put in a £58 million bid for the test. It was said that an anomaly occurred, which is a charming term for something going completely wrong. Where's the car, darling? Ah, I had a bit of an anomaly with the lamppost. The MOD stressed that the missile would have worked if the test had taken place in a, quotes, real-world situation. Again, reassuring, rather than the surreal-world situation where we fire nuclear missiles at point-blank range directly into the sea past a confused haddock whilst a £3 billion annual bill melts Salvador Dali-style in the background. Well, let's move on to another question. In an effort to pay off his legal bills, Donald Trump has taken to selling what? Anyone?
He's selling trainers.
Correct.
He's selling weird golden, which is such a weird thing for him to be selling. Because if there's ever a man who doesn't wear trainers, like ever, it's like he's the living incarnation of what happens to you if you don't wear trainers. It's like Ian Duncan Smith launching a line of hair gel. It's just really weird.
And right now, in the States, if you want to avoid looking into the eyes of someone that supports Trump, you can recognize them from their bright red MAGA hat. But now you're going to look down and see those god-awful gold shoes. And just know, you know, you're just going to have to stay indoors.
My understanding is he's selling them for $399 a pair, and he just got a $355 million fine in a fraud trial. So he only has to sell like 900,000 pairs and he'll be fine. And because it's radio, you can't see them, but they are really tasteful. They're really beautiful. And they're going to go like hotcakes. I think, you know, who doesn't like bright gold leather? It's going to go like hotcakes in the pimp community anyway.
Well, he thinks that gold is a very subtle neutral flesh tone. See, what? Trump's also releasing a fragrance. I mean, it's like the worst person. Like, you can't think of anyone you'd less like to smell like.
Yes, Trump has been encouraging his supporters to fork out $399 for his shoes, claiming they're suitable for leisure, fitness, and most insurrections. The trainers are called Never Surrender High Tops, inspired, by Winston Churchill's We Shall Fight Them on the Beaches, Stiletto Heels from the War. And the gold, garish, ostentatious shoes have been described by the manufacturers as being just like President Trump, by which they presumably mean totally unnecessary, extremely costly, and completely unsuitable for use at a children's ice skating party. Right, at the end of that round, the scores are 10 to Hugo and Rhea and 12 to Lucy and Andrew. Right, we're going to have an odd one out round now, and this can go to Andrew and Lucy. Can you pick the odd one out from this list? The world's largest oil companies, HSBC, British Gas, and Mildred Prathelwaite, a carer in a nursing home in Nantwich.
Well, I owe them all money. So sorry, Mildred. I think their profits have gone up, apart from the carer.
Correct, yes.
Who, obviously, carers are overworked, underpaid, and a disgrace to our society that we allow that to be so. And equally, a bit of a disgrace, the oil companies made $281
billion. Yeah, huge profits. Is that enough? $281 billion, do you think?
I mean, you know, I did not know until this week that the big oil companies, BP, Shell, Chevron, ExxonMobil and Total, are known as the super majors, which already sounds like the beginnings of quite a tedious cinematic universe, doesn't it? Or like someone who's been bitten by a radioactive John Major. But they have made a fortune because of the wars and stuff. So obviously all those profits are going to be passed back to the consumers and customers in an act of... Because they're not...
I mean, it sounds like they're profiteering from the war. It sounds like the super rich are getting richer off the back of other people's misery.
Who knew?
You know, I think we should boycott oil. I'm not going to grease myself up ever again.
I don't understand the economics of it.
Right.
Because them, like... All the oil companies are making much more money, and the Russian oil company is also making much more money. And the reason why they're all making more money is presumably because people are prepared to pay more for oil. But they're all still selling just as much oil, just for more money. And I can't even begin to get my head around it. It's like if there was less oil, you'd think they'd be making less money because they were selling less oil. But they're making more money.
You've got to be careful, because every time someone somewhere says that they don't believe in free market economics, somewhere in the world, an investment bank dies.
I don't believe in free market economics. I don't believe in free market economics.
Was it not that before the war, we were all buying oil from Russia, even though it's wrong and we shouldn't do it, but mm-hmm. we just kind of did it anyway. And then the war started, and we went, we can't buy our oil from you anymore. And they went, that's fine, India and China will buy it. We went, okay, because we're going to buy it from over here. They went, all right. And then everybody went, we're just going to charge more. And we went, okay.
Yeah,
and that's what happened. And we all just sat there like mugs going, oh, it's cold. Except for the government, who just went, yeah, good. Are they getting richer? They're getting richer. They are. And then the oil company said, we're not evil, but we are going to actually, as part of this, they are now shutting their attempts at finding greener alternatives to fossil fuels, because the fossil fuels are making so much money. They're like, why do we need green alternatives? We're making the money. That's mm-hmm. what we do. So they're shutting those now as well. And we're all just sitting here going, yeah, okay. Yeah, isn't it cold?
Yes, the world's largest oil companies between them have clocked up $281 billion in profits. British Gas's profits have also plinked up by a cheeky few 100%. And the celebrity bank HSBC has seen its profits rise by almost 80% to $24 billion. But they haven't been at all secretive about how they've done it. Far from it. They've actually shared advice with their customers on how to make a £24 billion profit. They've given lifestyle tips, including looking for discounted products, spending less in the supermarket, learning to enjoy the sweet, sweet pangs of hunger, and being an enormous global banking corporation. All very good advice. Right. Can you tell me the odd one out from the following institutions in the fictional county of Snottershire? St. Sniddles Parish Church, Glitzy Snitzy's Nightclub, and HMP Snutterton. Which is the odd one out?
The prison's the odd
prison.
One out.
I think
yes.
The prison's the
Can
odd
one. Can you explain
one.
Why?
Because there are more...
Numbers are going up.
Yeah, more yes. people in prison, fewer people in churches and nightclubs.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Are they linked?
Yes.
You've just been stealing the collection plates?
Church parishes are closing. I think they've shut like 300 in the last year or so. So they've been going down, which is a shame, but that, you know, especially for Henry VIII, because he created the Church of England, didn't he? So it's a real shame that one of his ideas hasn't really lasted. But divorce is still going strong, so that's good. Because in fact, if it wasn't for him, 42% of marriages would still end in beheading. So... So if anything, I think the church is getting off easy.
The Church of England, they said this week that church attendance is in a doom spiral, was what they said. And I thought that makes it sound quite appealing, like a water flume. The church for the doom spiral. Well, but also, I mean...
Be a great name for a nightclub. Yeah.
Well,
doom spiral. Doom spiral. In the catacombs.
Churches and nightclubs are increasingly linked. Because you also get a lot of... There's this growing thing for, like, silent discos in cathedrals.
I'm a Catholic by birth, and Catholic church is very much like a nightclub, because you go in and someone pops something round on your tongue that's meant to be magical.
But I think that's quite an instructive comparison, because I think the Church of England has gone soft, right? I think that... Because I'm a Catholic. I go to church every week. This year I've given up abstinence for Lent. and I think... We Catholics, we still do the hellfire damnation stuff, right? It's, you know, it's not a carrot, it's a stick. But people want that, don't they? They want the sort of drama.
Although Church of England is... Do they do the thing, like the Catholic thing that I like? It's like a nightclub, you get to hold hands with a stranger for a bit.
No, they don't even self-flagellate or anything. They're really boring.
Yeah, church attendances are down. I should emphasise that it's not just attendances in Christian places of worship that are on the slide. Far fewer people are sacrificing oxen to Zeus these days. I do my bit, but there's only so much you can do to massage the stats. And I've never fully understood the attraction of nightclubs either. I always found the music so loud that I could barely hear the cricket commentary on my headphones. Maybe I was doing it wrong. Right, at the end of that round, the scores are now 14 points all. Right, a couple of stories to finish this week's news quiz. Let's give this one to Lucy and Andrew. Volunteers are being sought to do what for a year?
It's to pretend to go to Mars.
Yes.
But not actually go to Mars.
Yeah.
You get to live for a year in Houston. It's 1,700 square feet for free. And I think everybody in London is going to go, yeah, we'll do that.
How do you make it look like Mars? Did you just watch that film Total Recall?
Well, I mean, all the films they've made on Mars, you know they weren't actually on Mars. So you can make it look like Mars.
Oh, I thought they were shot on location.
They're going to 3D print Mars.
Yeah.
Not all of it.
No, just 1,700 square feet of it, but they're going to 3D print it. In some ways, humanity's amazing. We've invented a 3D printer that can 3D print a replica of Mars, and yet we can't figure out how to house and clothe our poor. Like, what's wrong with us that we can do this? And we've gone, do you want to, like, feed everybody? Do you want to give everyone a house? Because you can 3D print a house. No. Let's 3D print Mars and put four people aged between 30 and 55. And if any of those women are in menopause, like, good luck to you. Good luck to you going, yeah, I'll do that. I'll have hot flashes on one of the hottest planets in the solar system. Yeah, send me to Mars where I can't tell.
Okay, first PhD scientist, Mars is cold.
Is it cold?
Yes.
It depends where you are, doesn't it?
It's further away.
It's not, it's hot, it's red.
am I thinking of Venus?
You're thinking, yeah, again, PhD in science.
PhD in virology, which is one of the smallest things known to on the planet, and you want me to know about space. And actually, if you really want to know, my PhD was in herpes.
So. Did you call it herpes goes bananas? Would you sign up for that, any of you?
Depends who the other three people are. Is it going to be Hugo?
Yes, this is NASA's simulated Mars mission. A four-person crew are going to spend a year pretending to be Matt Damon in a 3D-printed replica Martian landscape. The job offers the prospect of a year hermetically sealed off from the rest of reality and all news. NASA has reportedly received 7.9 billion applications. And finally, this week, our final question. And this goes to Hugo and Rhea with a chance to tie up the scores in this thrilling contest. Why were some people this week calling for a rotting lion carcass to be brought back to life?
Well, okay, so Lyle's Golden Syrup logo, and if you didn't know this, you're all going to rush home and look at your bottle that you have. Lyle's Golden Syrup logo, up until now, has been a dead lion surrounded by bees. Mmm, yum. Who doesn't want that on their crumpets?
Can I just ask, because I'd never noticed this. I don't think any of us had...
No, I'd never noticed.
Who in the audience had noticed this logo? Oh, quite a few hands going. And who had no idea that there was a dead lion? It's about maybe 50-50.
But even people who noticed it, like, did you know it was a dead lion or did you just think it was wasted on syrup?
Did you know it was bees or did you think it was flies?
It's from the Bible.
It is from the Bible.
It's because Lyle was very religious, and so the logo is from the story of Samson from the Old Testament. Samson killed a lion and then later noticed a swarm of bees had formed a comb of honey inside its carcass, which I don't know about you, but sounds pretty appealing.
I mean, of course it's Samson. If you get that stuff in your hair, you have to cut it all off. I love this story, though, because when I was a kid, we used to have porridge, and my mum used to put bits of dead lion on it.
But it's not even made by bees. It's not made of lions either, but still, it's like, it's the honey substitute that's not made by bees. It's completely bee unconnected.
So the quote is, Samson goes to a wedding in the Bible, and he says to the 30 people there, I'm going to set you a riddle, and if you can get the riddle, I'm going to buy you all suits. And so the riddle is, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now, nobody at the wedding could get it, mainly because it was a riddle about something that had happened to Samson himself earlier, where none of those people or anybody else were there. And the way that they finally figured it out is they got his wife to tell him the answer. They said to him, this is the answer. It's a lion that you killed and then noticed had honeycomb in it from bees. And he went, oh, I guess you won. I guess I'm going to have to give you all suits. And he went out and killed 30 people and gave them the dead suits. And Lyle was so inspired by this story that he decided to memorialize it on the packaging of Lyle's golden syrup. But what's even funnier is that Tate and Lyle don't own their sugar production anymore. They sold it to the Americans. So it's only the Americans now, years after they've owned it, that have gone, oh, that's weird. We should change that. Yeah, we should change that.
Lyle, the makers of Lyle's golden syrup, provoked fury by changing the oldest continuously unchanged corporate branding in the known universe, the much-loved image of a rotting corpse of a lion having its decaying flesh swarmed over by bees that has brought so much joy to syrup lovers since 1883, has been replaced by a smoothened generic lion face. Is this not wokery gone politically correct gone mad? How are our children ever going to learn that golden syrup is made by necrocurious bees out of the rotting flesh of lions if they can't read it exactly as it is on the tin? Right, that brings us to the end of this week's news quiz, with the scores tied at 16 points all. Well done. Well, don't forget, this weekend sees the introduction of the single European bedtime. That's part of the Windsor Framework small print that no one bothered reading. We've all got to be tucked up by 10:30 p.m. Brussels time, lights out 11 sharp, or else. It's alive! The naked wooden Miles Jupp is alive!
Andy, is there any chance you could find me a pair of wooden trousers?
Oh, yes. Here you go.
Thank you. 2 points to Zoltzman.
Thank you for listening to the news quiz. Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andrew Doyle, Hugo Rifkind, Lucy Porter and Ria Lina. In the chair was Andy Zoltzman, and additional material was written by Cody Darla, Cameron Loxdale and Viv May. The producer was James Robinson, and it was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4.
There'll be more from the news quiz at the same time next week on